does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and it's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, got a lot of basketball to talk about. There's a shock. It's a perfect time to do it. Talking about the tournament. Talking about college basketball in our state. Also talking some high school basketball. Right now, though, the star of our show. He has every bit of information you could want on a very busy weekend. It's Network Indiana's Brendan King.
Coach, you are the best. Let's get right to all the madness. The NCAA tournament games going on right now. Still nowhere close. Number 3, Illinois, demolishing number 11, Duquesne, 50-26. Of course, the 11-seeded Dukes upset BYU in the first round, but Illinois, the Illini, look solid. That game's still at half. Under 11 to go, second half, 2-seeded Tennessee on top of 7-seeded Texas, 41-33. Rick Barnes against his former crew in the Longhorns. Texas trying to mount a comeback right now. And still one game to go tonight to begin. That'll get started in the next 60 seconds. 11-seeded Oregon, 3-seeded Creighton. Speaking of revenge game, Dana Altman at the helm of the Ducks. He goes against his former crew with the Blue Jays. Games already completed today. 1-seed North Carolina got the job done against 9-seeded Michigan State. Final 85-69. As North Carolina, the 1-seed Tar Heels, move on. Armando Bacot was terrific with 18 points and 7 rebounds. How about 2-seed Arizona? They started the day with a 10-point win over 7-seed Dayton. Final was 78-68. The Wildcats move on. 2-seeded Iowa State survives against 7-seed Washington State. The Canes move on, or the Cyclones, I should say, 67-56. This was one of the games of the day, no doubt, not because of how it finished, but just how dominant Gonzaga looked. The 5-seed Bulldogs over 4-seed Kansas, 89-68. And in overtime, 11-seeded North Carolina State, the ACC champ, moves on by outlasting 14-seed Oakland, who had the big upset over Kentucky. Final of 79-73. As for the tournament tomorrow, 1-seed Purdue, after being able to defeat 16-seed Grambling State, the Boilers move on now to face 8-seed Utah State in the round of 32 tomorrow afternoon. That'll start at 2:40. In the NIT, the Indiana State Sycamores back in action. The Trees will battle Minnesota, the Gophers, in Terre Haute. That's tomorrow at 2. How about for the women's tournament? 4-seed Indiana taking care of business against 13-seed Fairfield. Final at 89-56. Same case for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The 2-seed Irish, no issue with 15-seed Kent State. That's a final of 81-67. Onward to the IHSAA Boys Basketball State Finals. Next weekend, these are your matchups. 4A, it's Fishers taking on Ben Davis. Of course, BD trying to go back-to-back off a semi-state win over Jeffersonville. In 3A, Scottsburg will face off against South Bend St. Joseph, coming down from the 5-7-4. In 2A, it's Brownstown Central versus Wapahani. Lastly, in Class A, Fort Wayne Canterbury. They take on Bethesda Christian. Today, the Indy 11 drew with Sacramento Republic. That's a final of 1-1. ECHL hockey, it was the Wheeling Nailers over the Fort Wayne Comets. 3-1 was the final in that puck drop. And the Toledo Walleye, they beat the Indy Fuel 5-2. Let's talk about some spring training baseball. From Sloan Park in Mesa, the Cubs lost to the Brewers. Final of 7-4. The Reds put away the Rockies 6-2. Diamondbacks over the Giants today 11-5. Elsewhere, it was the Mariners blowing out the White Sox 8-2. The Guardians blanked the Diamondbacks 5-0. Marlins over the Nationals 5-3. It was the Red Sox 8 and the Twins 6. And the Orioles edged the Blue Jays. Final of 3-2. Opening day for many ball clubs, including the Chicago Cubs. comes up on March the 28th. As for Minor League, we are 12 days away from opening day for both the Fort Wayne Tin Caps and the South Bend Cubs. The Indianapolis Indians will get rolling at AAA just a couple days prior. There's a lot going on. March Madness baseball, we've got it all. More coming up on IST.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. All right, Brendan King, tell me about the NCAA tournament. Our boys at Oakland almost did it, right? They were close.
They were close.
No, Jack Golke became an overnight sensation in these last couple of days, did he not?
Well, that's what this month does, Coates. I mean, he said it himself.
Yeah.
He's not going to the NBA. He's getting ready for a professional life outside of sports, and he's going to live to tell the tale for the rest of his life, taking down some star players from Kentucky. But yeah, Oakland just did not have the juice towards the end in OT. Former Butler Bulldog Jaden Taylor had a pretty good game for NC State. He hit the big dagger three to finish things off. In OT. Ooh. So NC State heads to the Sweet 16. But, Coach, the big news right now actually comes outside of the NCAA tournament. Dusty May, Green yeah. County's own, yeah. the new head coach at Michigan. That's a big deal.
Right. Well, it's a huge deal. I mean, it really is. This is, you know, huge on a lot of levels, quite frankly. One, you know, we're happy a fellow Hoosier is taking a job of that magnitude. Clearly, happy for his success. We were all excited about the run that they made a year ago, and it does all of us a lot of good when Hoosiers go on to bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. And for him, listen, I'm not in the camp that thinks football taking a job like that, you'll be overshadowed by football. I don't think John Beilein was overshadowed by football, and I just think that. You know, it's a huge, huge challenge. You now go into one of, if not the best basketball conference in the country. Money will be no object in terms of your budget and your ability to recruit and do the things you want to do. And you are now going to be able to – you took Florida Atlantic to a championship game. You will now be able to compete on a much – stronger level annually for a national championship. And so I think it's all great. Now, I think the Indiana University fans are now crushed because their guy won't be available to take that job when it opens. And I hope it's a long time, quite frankly, for Coach Woodson. But still, it's good for him. I think it's wonderful. I mean, that's big news because now – you know, things, you got the classic dominoes. These jobs, when one leaves, you have to replace and all that
yep.
stuff. So it gets interesting. There's no question.
And well, absolutely. And reports are that he passed on both Louisville and Vanderbilt. That's according to multiple reports, and he's getting a 5-year deal at Michigan. And just like you said, Coach, I mean, Chris Holtman took the DePaul job. I mean, that's a domino that went down. Michigan now,
right,
of course,
right.
filled. We'll see who takes the Louisville job. Of course, there's all kinds of rumors swirling about what Josh Schertz is going to do after Indiana State finishes in the NIT.
Right, right.
You know, and Josh Schertz, I thought it was pretty cool. He went on our friend JMV's show last week, and, you know, John asked him about what his status is and where his head is at. I thought he had a terrific answer, and it was well thought out, and he truly mentioned that he has not entertained anything until Indiana State's season finishes, so that's going to be a big number. You know, obviously Indiana State, they play tomorrow against Minnesota, so this could happen anytime, but yeah, there are some big gaps still to fill as we move to the 2024-25 college basketball season with a lot of good games still to be played this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Louisville job, to be honest.
Oh, I'm not either.
I understand they have plenty of resources, but the last two guys in, Kenny Payne was a disaster, and
so was Chris Mack.
I don't, you know, so was Chris. Chris Mack was surprisingly disappointing,
right?
Because he's a good basketball man, but it was just. Yeah, Coach Crum is not there, and that's a tough situation. And so, it's always interesting to look at the coaching moves. And you know, I'm an old coach, and it's still in my heart, I am. And so, it's kind of interesting to watch. So, Updates on games, what's happening before you get to your scoreboard update?
Sure. So, 5-point game now, and actually make it a 3-point game, just updated. 2-seed Tennessee on top of 7-seed Texas. That was not much of a game in the first half. It was only a, 28-19 score at half. So, there was a lid on the basket for sure, seemingly, in that first half. Second half, it's heightened up a little bit more. Of course, Rick Barnes facing his former team. That's a 5-point game with 6 minutes to go in the second half, and has not been a game at all pretty much all day. Illinois has blown the doors off of Duquesne 58-37, and just getting going, coach, in the first 5 minutes. 3-seed Creighton on top of 11-seed Oregon. Dana Altman at the helm of the Ducks facing his former team in the Jays.
What time's Purdue tomorrow again? Remind me.
That'll be 2:40 tomorrow afternoon, coach, right here in downtown Indianapolis over at Gainbridge, Utah State and Purdue.
So how's the crowd downtown right now?
On my way in, it was pretty darn good.
Outstanding. Brendan King coming up, scoreboard update. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Dusty May is the new head coach at the University of Michigan as he'll succeed Juwan Howard in Ann Arbor. Of course, May, the Greene County native, former basketball manager at Indiana under Bob Knight. He gets a 5-year deal to the Big Ten. And, of course, May making that Final Four run with Florida Atlantic last year, one of his key pieces, Gary native Nellie Davis. So, of course, Dusty May has already shown he can recruit in the state of Indiana, and he's going to be doing that a bunch now at Michigan, joining the Big Ten. It's a 5-year deal for Dusty May in Ann Arbor, the new head coach of the Wolverines. Back to the NCAA tournament, where three games are in action right now. It's an 8-point game between Tennessee and Texas. Rick Barnes at the helm of the Vols, facing his former team in the Longhorns, 50-42. Under 4 timeout, second half. Meanwhile, Illinois continues to demolish Duquesne, 13-48 to play in regulation. That's a 65-40 score. Terrence Shannon Jr. has erupted with 21 points. The 3-seed Creighton Blue Jays out of the Big East, beating number 11 Oregon 11-6. That one is only 8 minutes old with 13 and change left in the first half. Elsewhere today, 1-seed North Carolina took care of 9-seed Michigan State, 85-69. Armando Bacot, the veteran, 18 points and 7 boards. 2-seed Arizona moves to the Sweet 16 with their 78-68 win over Dayton out of the A-10. It was Iowa State beating Washington State. That was the 2-versus-7 game, 67-56. Gonzaga to the Sweet 16. Another one for Mark Few, 89-68. And in overtime, NC State outlasted Oakland, 79-73. I'm Brendan King.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. I'm glad you're all with us because this half hour is going to be great. We're going to talk to two of the best coaches around. With me to start, we're going to talk with John Peckinpah, the boys' all-star coach from Kokomo. But we start with Brooks Miller, the basketball coach at Trine University, the NCAA Division III national champions, and Coach Miller, the NCAA Division III national coach of the year. Brooks, I'm honored to have you call me. Congratulations to you and the Thunder on this great championship.
Oh, thanks for the invite, Coach. I appreciate being on. It was a heck of a run for us, and it was pretty special being able to do it in Fort Wayne at the Final Four and down the road from us, about 30 miles.
All right, be honest with me. When you're getting ready, putting it all together, you think you can play for a championship?
Yeah, I felt in August when we got a young man named Cortez Garland to transfer in here as a grad transfer. He was down in Texas working. He took last year off, and his brother decided to come play for us. And in late August, he said, "Coach, hey, I know these opportunities don't come by very often, and I would love to come up and play for you there. Do you still have a spot for me?" And I said, I don't know. I may have to move some things around, but I guess we'll have, of course, young man, we have a spot for you.
Right.
So he was the most valuable player of the tournament. And once we did that, I felt like we had a great opportunity to be really successful and get into the NCAA tournament. And then as the team just began to grow and come together, and a lot of it had to do with his leadership, but it was some great mm-hmm. play from many of them. We felt like we could win a championship, and we were able to do everything we needed to do to get into the tournament. We hosted the first two rounds here at Trine, and then we were fortunate to host the next two rounds at Trine as well, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. We had a really really tough battle against Platteville in the Elite Eight. We were down 10 with about a minute 45 to go. We kept fighting and fighting, and we ended up winning that game in overtime. And Cortez hit the game winner right at the buzzer as it expired. And with that momentum, we felt like going into Fort Wayne, well, it can't get any worse than down 10 for us to get nervous. So we played pretty loose, and we're able to play our best basketball in the Final Four against Trinity in the semifinals, and then in the championship game against Hampton Sydney.
29-4, spectacular. But let's go back to the finals of your conference. You lose in your conference tournament. What was the feeling coming out of that?
That was pretty gut-wrenching. You know, I mean, we've all been there as coaches. We were 22-1. We were 22-1 like the first or second week of February there, and then we ended up losing 3 out of 5 games, 2 of which were in overtime at home. One to Calvin that would have – we ended up winning our conference championship, but we ended up sharing it with Calvin with that overtime loss. And then we went into the conference tournament a little beat up emotionally, I would say, more than anything else. And we just didn't – we had a couple of shots against Hope, who was a great basketball team. Calvin went all the way to the Elite Eight, and then Calvin went into the Sweet 16. So those are two great basketball teams as well. And we had two good looks within the last minute, and we ended up losing that game in overtime. So we had a lot of really uncomfortable conversations in the locker room after that. I told the guys during the selection show, I said, I think we got a couple choices here. I said, we can sit here and say, hey, we made it into the NCAA tournament for the first time, and we can say we're happy to be here and just, hey, let's see what happens. Or we can really lock in here and push each other harder than we've pushed each other all year long. And I said, I'm going to tell you, I'm real happy to be here. I ain't going to BS you guys, but I tell you what, this is going to be the toughest week you've had practice-wise that we've had all year. Right. And we just went at each other. We had some of the longest, most physical practices we had leading into that first weekend, and then we came out on top there and beating Fontbonne and Co. And then we just stayed the course with that. We just stayed at it, and it worked out really well for us. And I thought it was just the way we came together, it was something really unique. We're very mature. We're very old. We started a couple of two fifth-year guys. We started two mm-hmm. other guys that would have been mm-hmm. Normal seniors without the COVID year. And we had one sophomore coming off the bench who plays well above his age, extremely mature young man, and Nate Tucker. And we were able to get it done.
It's a great story, Brooks. I mean, there is no other way to put it, quite frankly. When you think about Division III basketball in our state, Wabash played in the Final Four a couple years ago. You win it this year. It's alive and well. I still think of Tri-State University. I'm sorry, I can't get it out of my mind. Although I've told you this story, it's the site of one of my greatest memories, winning an NAI District 21 championship at Tri-State and move on and go to the NAA National Tournament. That was my first championship team at IUPUI, and we have no business winning. They're clearly better than we were, and we ended up winning. But I think it's fantastic. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for everybody in Angola and everybody around there. It's cool to have a National Coach of the Year join me on the show. Brooks Miller, you're the best. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you joining us, and congratulate you again on a tremendous season.
Yeah, thanks. We actually set the NCAA Division III attendance record as well for a championship game. So over 4,500 people were there to watch us. And one last thing, Coach Petty from Wabash sent me some really nice messages along our journey because Wabash was here at Trine.
Sure he
did. And he said, hey, Coach, go get yourself a championship. It'll be the first Indiana championship since, I think, maybe 1981 or 84 when they won it.
We're the first
team from Indiana, first team to do that. So we're real proud of being from Indiana and representing everything you guys talk about and the great history here.
That's fantastic. Brooks, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. Let's talk Kentucky-Indiana All-Star Game. John Peckinpah, the boys' coach, just recently announced. You know him as the basketball coach at Kokomo High School. Coach, that's a tough act to follow now, but congratulations on being named the All-Star coach.
No, yeah, thank you. It's a great honor. I feel extremely lucky, and I've been lucky these last 3 years to have really good players and really good assistants around me, and I think it's a big-time honor for our program and not just myself.
No, it's a huge honor for Kokomo, and it's a huge honor, obviously, for you. So every time I ask I talk to all the All-Star coaches over the course of, you know, the show, what was it like when you got the phone call from Mike Broughton?
Oh, it was cool. You know, I grew up in a house that Indiana high school basketball meant a lot.
Yeah.
I remember my dad telling me stories about Bill Harrell coaching the All-Star team. My Uncle Rick was his assistant. You know, those stories meant a lot to me growing up. So now to have my name next to a guy like Coach Harrell, that means the world to me, and very lucky to be a part of it.
Well, that's a great point, because there have been a tremendous number of coaches who are, you know, Hall of Famers, and I think it's a validation of a couple of things. One, it's a validation of how you're viewed in our profession, in our state. And secondly, it's a tremendous affirmation of what Kokomo basketball has been about, not just in the Flory Badunga years, but over the course of time, the time you've been there. I think it's quite an accomplishment for everybody involved.
Yeah, without a doubt. Our community is special. Obviously, our basketball program means a lot, and people are invested in it, which makes it really special.
Yeah, they are invested in Kokomo basketball. I mean, there's no question. No question at all. Let's go back. You had one of the best players in our state in a long time, one of the most talented kids we've had in Flory Badunga. And his story has been a tremendous one to follow for people and see him just in his story on the court and off the court. But on the court, the progress he's made athletically, basketball ability-wise, has been phenomenal.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I've said this multiple times. I think he's one of the most coachable kids I've ever been around in my life, whether that's playing with or coaching or just watching him improve. He's very rare in the fact you have to tell him something one time, and then he hardly ever makes that same mistake again, which is, I think, outside of his freak athletic ability, is his best trait.
John, can you hang on here through this upcoming scoreboard update? I want to spend more time talking about the process and what you're going to go through in these next few days to put together an All-Star team. You got time to do that?
Yeah, that's fine. For sure.
Perfect. We'll come back, talk some more Indiana-Kentucky All-Star matchups, high school basketball. John Peckinpah, the head coach at Kokomo, will be the boys' coach. We'll do that after this scoreboard update on Indiana sports.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm Brendan King with this Network Indiana scoreboard update here on Indiana Sports Talk. 2:40 tomorrow, it's Purdue in the round of 32 looking to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16. They match up with 8-seed Utah State after Purdue took care of business against Grambling State in the first round. And, of course, the game in Indianapolis, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Purdue, an 11.5-point favorite. The over-under, 149.5 tomorrow at 2:40. Now a check-in with games going on right now in the NCAA tournament. It's 3-seed Creighton on top of 11-seed Oregon. Just a two-piece, 21-19. It's been a good start to that one. Under 7 minutes to go first half. And getting dicey between Tennessee and Texas. Rick Barnes' coaching fraternity, 56-55. Texas behind Tennessee with 25 seconds to go in regulation. Keep an eye on that one. Overtime may be ordered. We'll see if the Vols can hang on or if the Longhorns can storm back. And getting close to finishing up, has not been a game all day. Illinois, No issue with Duquesne tonight, 77-49. Still 8 minutes in change left in the second half over there. For the women's tournament, Indiana, no issue with Fairfield. 4-13 game. The Hoosiers, 89. Fairfield, 56. Mackenzie Holmes with 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks. Her usual excellent work. Notre Dame also blew out Kent State. 2-15 game, 81-67 in Albany. I'm Brendan King.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We return to our conversation with John Peckinpah, the head coach at Kokomo High School. He is the boys Indiana All-Star coach. All right, Coach, when Mike Broughton called you and told you about the good news, I'm sure he also mentioned that the expectation was to win 2 basketball games.
No, without a doubt. And I think if you look at the score of the junior game last year where they played Kentucky's junior at Jeffersonville, I think this is probably one of the best Kentucky teams they've had in a few years. So definitely going to come in with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder and really work that week at Marion and try to sweep them.
So you got obviously, you know, you've been in touch with people now. I think it's probably been a busy week for you, or a couple of weeks after the announcement, trying to, you know, get familiar with people. And you get a chance in the top 60 workout coming up in April. It's April 7th out at Marion. That's a very important day, is it not, to get a chance to see a lot of these kids in one place at the same time?
No, yeah, for sure. And I think Coach Brown's done a really good job the last few years of, you know, maybe not the best talent, but putting together the best team to give Indiana the best shot to win 2 games. And that's what we're going to be looking for these next few weeks here. Coach does a good job of making sure I'm watching film on guys he has questions about. And Coach Thompson and Coach Hoffman have been great so far this week since we've got announced. So we've got a lot of work ahead. We've got to figure out how to sweep Kentucky.
I think the other thing that we sometimes forget about is your program at Kokomo is on solid foundation. And this, again, a validation, a recognition of what your program is about, because they're going to be without you. It's not going to be a normal off season. You'll have your all-star obligations. And so your staff and your players have to step up and do some things in your absence, which I think is a great thing for them. It's a learning experience for everybody, but it's incredibly important for them to do it the right way.
No, for sure. And I'm lucky. I have a really, really good staff around me who I have confidence in. And it'll be good for them to grow a little bit as a staff and find their voice there in the summer and make sure we have a productive week when I'm away.
It's also for you and Brandon and Josh. It's like, you know, when we, as coaches, we were, you know, at camps and spending time. One of the great things about going to basketball camps as a coach was you know, that downtime when you were able to just talk ball with your buddies, and you get a chance to talk to two of the best and spend some time with them. I think it's going to be a great experience for everybody.
No, without a doubt. I'm going to lean on those guys a lot. And I'm excited for, you know, just to kind of pick their brains and see what's worked for them and see if I can steal anything from them to bring back to Kokomo.
In the absence of an announced team, I'm assuming that there's a guy from Kokomo who might make it, probably will make it. Won't it be a big thrill for you to be able to coach him a little more, just spend more time with one of the most important guys you've had in your program?
No, for sure. And I'm going to really push hard that he gets Mr. Basketball. I know there are a few other kids in the state that will have a chance, but
sure.
I'm definitely excited to get to be around him for a week before he goes off to Kansas and get to work with him one more time and watch him to compete at a high level. So I'm excited about that.
Coach, I appreciate you taking time. John Peckinpah is the Indiana all boys all-star coach. He's the coach at Kokomo High School. I know you got a million things to do, and I hope you're not on spring break and I've taken you away from something important, but I appreciate it. I congratulate you. It's a great honor. I know you're going to do well. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll try to catch up with you as we get closer to the games and help sell some tickets and do that stuff if that's okay with you. All right. Coach, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck. Best of luck to you and your guys. Thanks a lot, Coach. I think we lost Coach Peckinpah. It's okay. That's Coach John Peckinpah. Great, great honor. All right, Brendan King, catch me up on what's happening in scores.
Yeah, Coach, to those three games, let's see, Illinois still nowhere close, 7 minutes to go. Duquesne has just been 20-piece pretty much all game, 77-54. Yeah, so the Illini are going to go to the Sweet 16. And a pretty good start between Creighton and Oregon, 3 minutes to go first half. Creighton on top of the Ducks, 28-27, back and forth there. And in the dying seconds here, Coach, two-point game, Texas and Tennessee, it's 60-58. That may come down to free throws.
All right. Pacers in action tomorrow. Is that right?
That is correct, Coach. Over in the Lake Show.
What time is that game?
Late one tomorrow, Coach. 10 o'clock. So they're out in L.A. for the next couple. So they'll play. Good news is they can stay in the same hotel. So 10 o'clock tomorrow against the Lakers. 10:30 on Sunday against the Clippers.
You know, the interesting thing is mentioning staying in the same hotel when I was – my first year at Franklin College with my first team, we were fortunate enough to go to the NAIA National Tournament in Kansas City. And at the time, they had a policy that teams literally, you'd be in the same hotel with a bunch of teams. And the deal was that you played in Kemper Arena, so you're in a downtown Kansas City hotel, and you would take the bus from the hotel to Kemper with your opponents.
Oh, man.
So you're riding to and from the arena with your opponent. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. There were no problems. And the other part of it, too, is, I mean, I remember that in the 78 game, we are in the hotel with a team from Arizona called Grand Canyon University.
How about
who
that?
Who would have thought that in the how about that?
The Lopes.
The irony is they were really good back then.
Right.
And this is before they went global with their online degree programs and started printing money and became who they are. And so it's interesting. You'll be in those hotels. And I do remember my guys became very familiar with the Grand Canyon cheerleaders and became friends and struck, it was really kind of neat. And one of those great lessons of being in college, one of those great experiences of being in college is to be able to do those kinds of things. And so there is that. So good. So, man, what a great time. Baseball. You were doing baseball. We're talking about basketball. We did some racing. The only thing I haven't talked about is football. Do I need to talk about any football? Anything I've missed on football other than the Colts have made some moves and Joe Flacco coming in? That was announced yesterday. That caught me by surprise. I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah, I think maybe the name, but not the signing, right? I mean, you needed somebody to back up Anthony Richardson after Gardner Minshew went to Vegas. But, yeah, the fact that it's Joe Flacco, a guy that has been a thorn in your side at times in the AFC, he proved last year in Cleveland that he still has got something, Coach. So, and, you know, with questions still out there, of course, of Richardson's health, you may need Joe Flacco this year. So I think the Colts realize they're going to need a capable backup just like they had this year. And hopefully that's what they can get for this coming year with Flacco. But ideally, of course, Richardson is your quarterback for the entire season.
Mm-hmm. I think the prudent, I'm not an NFL general manager, but the prudent thing to me would be you have a capable backup quarterback because invariably your starter is going to get hurt at some point. I mean, look up and down the league. backups got a lot of time, and they continue to get time because of the nature of the sport and how it is. People get hurt. That's the biggest thing about it. And it doesn't hurt to have someone with that experience and that capability. So good move. All right, Brendan King coming up with a scoreboard update. And we continue to talk a lot of basketball. Don't forget to join us next weekend as we will be discussing and be involved, intimately involved, in the 114th Annual IHSAA Boys Basketball State Finals presented by the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever. So join us next Friday night. We'll give you the whole pre-tournament extravaganza. Scoreboard update coming up with Mr. Brendan King. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Rick Barnes gets his revenge as the Tennessee Volunteers roll over the Texas Longhorns. Although Texas played a superb second half, the Horns come up just short, 62-58. Tennessee is on their way to the Sweet 16, leaving just two more games in action tonight in the round of 32. Creighton by a pair at halftime over Oregon. Dana Altman, the head coach of the Ducks, facing his former team in the Jays. 36-34, Greg McDermott's squad on top. Ryan Kalkbrenner, a solid first half, 12 points and 7 boards. And Illinois just waiting to finish off Duquesne. 86-61 that score with 3 minutes to play in half number two. As for tomorrow's schedule, we'll give you a full run through in the 11 o'clock 5-minute update. But of course, number one, Purdue. The Boilers take on 8-seed Utah State at 2:40 at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow afternoon. Elsewhere today across the sports world, it was the Indy 11 drawing with Sacramento Republic in some soccer action. That's a final of 1-1. The Wheeling Nallers beat the Fort Wayne Comets 3-1 in the ECHL. Elsewhere there, it was the Toledo Walleye over the Indy Fuel 5-2. Now let's hit the NIT, where the Indiana State Sycamores will play tomorrow in Terre Haute. They welcome in a Power 5 squad to the Holman Center. It does not happen often. The Minnesota Golden Gophers are in town after Minnesota beat Butler in the first round of the NIT. Indiana State trying to punch their ticket to Hinkle Fieldhouse later on in the NIT. 2 o'clock tomorrow, Indiana State at 29-6. They're 14-1 in the Holman Center. Their only loss this year against Illinois State at home. I'm Brendan King.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Go Sycamores. Good luck tomorrow to them. We'll all be, obviously, sending positive vibrations your way. Dr. Lynn Clark from Irish 101 joins me. We're talking about Notre Dame women's basketball. Get a win today in the tournament, 81-67. And also, one of the best lacrosse teams in the country, and spring football has begun. A lot to talk about tonight, Dr. Clark.
Yeah, I'm running out of breath just listening to you. But the number two seed Fighting Irish women's basketball team, they had advanced to the round of 32 with that win over Kent State. Sonia Citron led all players in scoring with 29 points. Hannah Hidalgo, the freshman, posted her eighth double-double of the season, 14 points and 11 assists. She also had six steals in the win. The game was a little bit closer than the score indicates. Kent made a comeback in the second half, but it was the Irish defense that buckled down to shut down the Golden Flashes. Notre Dame will host Ole Miss, that defeated Marquette in the other game this afternoon at Purcell Pavilion Monday night. So Notre Dame trying to get into the Sweet 16 and trying to get another national championship for the Fighting Irish program. But as you said, baseball in action, lacrosse in action, and Notre Dame football also in action. Practice number 4 in the books out of 11. Coach Marcus Freeman met with the media this afternoon to give an injury update. Quarterback transfer Riley Leonard underwent surgery on his ankle. Kind of to avoid a stress fracture. Now, this was the ankle that was injured in the game last fall against Notre Dame. And so there is no timetable for his return, but Coach Freeman says there is a chance that he could participate in some way this spring. Injuries also dominated the conversation this afternoon. Wide receiver Deion Colsey will miss a few practices due to a dislocated finger that required surgery. And then other notable injuries, the whole tight end core is basically wiped out. His tight ends Kevin Bogman and Mitchell Evans are hurt. And Eli Raritan is seeing limited action. He has had two ACL injuries over the past two seasons. So this spring, Bob, It's all about learning the system and fundamentals. Look for the competition for the starting positions to take place in fall camp. But the final practice, practice 11, will culminate in the blue-gold game. That's on Saturday, April 20th. That's less than a month away.
I would think a lot of practice is about non-contact, just in pads, trying to avoid any more injuries than what you already have. And it's difficult. Are they okay in terms of portal casualties? Do they lose people or a significant number of people who aren't participating in spring drills?
Not too much. It's just good. The new guys coming in and everybody just trying to find their role, but a lot of optimism. And right now, as far as the quarterback goes, Steve Angeli is running the ones, but all the quarterbacks are getting some work with the number one units. But as Marcus Freeman said this afternoon, say let's learn the system, get everybody on the same page, and then let them fight it out when fall camp comes. So that is kind of the modus operandi for the fall, or I should say for the spring season for Notre Dame. But as I said, the season is going to kick off on August 31st down at Texas A&M. So a lot of work for the Irish, but as you said, they need to get healthy.
Yeah, I think, it happens. I mean, obviously, injuries are part of it. The number, basically having no tight ends is an interesting situation to try to get some things done in spring ball. But spring practice is about building up your bodies, learning the system, and acclimating yourself to the pace and all of those things. So still a lot of lessons to be learned. Now, lacrosse, how's my lacrosse team doing?
Well, they had a break this week. They're going to be back in action March 30th against Syracuse, a traditional lax power. That's going to be at South Bend. It'll be an afternoon game. But right now, the Fighting Irish, just take a look at their record. They are 5-1 overall. The only blemish was a loss to Georgetown that came back in February. So lacrosse is looking pretty good right now as they get ready for a big game against Syracuse in ACC action.
I'm just telling you, I fell in love when my grandson was playing in high school and college. I fell in love with the sport. This is from a basketball guy. I think it's as cool as can be. Dr. Lynn Clark. Lynn, thank you so much for the call. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bob.
Thanks so much. Coming up, short break. We'll come back, talk more basketball on Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Coming up next weekend, the 114th annual IHSAA Boys Basketball State Finals presented by the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever. I want you to let that sink in for 1 second. 114th annual. That's good stuff. And it's at Gainbridge. Everybody knows it. It's going to be fun. Obviously, because Gainbridge is kind of a busy place right now, that necessitated moving the boys' championship back a week later. And so I'm out of rhythm, like all of you. I mean, my mind is programmed after all these years to be there with the state championship, but we have to put it off. The 1A championship this year, that's a 10:30 start next Saturday, features Bethesda Christian at 23-7, taking on Fort Wayne Canterbury. Canterbury's 18-9. It's a really, really solid matchup. I'm going to be a part of the radio network for that game. I'm excited about that. I'm working with Kurt Darling on that game, and so really excited about the opportunity to be able to call that. I'm just so happy to, be able to do it and have some fun and see some great basketball. Then the 2A championship starting around 12:45 next Saturday is between Brownstown Central at 27-4 and Wapahani at 26-2. So you got number one versus number two. I don't need to tell you any more than that they're both deserving of where they are, and it should be a tremendous game. You get a chance to see two of the best and well-coached teams in the state. There's a whole lot going on in this game. And Jack Benner, from Brownstown Central, playing for his father, David, is, you know, a legitimate Mr. Basketball candidate, and very deserving of all the accolades coming his way. There's no question at all about that. Wapahani, 26-2, first state championship appearance. It's a group that's been together quite a bit of time. They're really, really solid. Matt Luce has literally grown up with this group, and they are they're really good. And so, both teams can score the ball. It's one of those types of situations where you have great players. Isaac Andrews is averaging about 25 for Wapahani. Jack Benner, similar numbers on the other side for Brownstown Central. I think these are two tremendously talented teams. Your 3A battle, that's Scottsburg and South Bend St. Joe, and then Ben Davis and Fishers in the 4A game. Top of the hour scoreboard update coming up. We're back. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.